Mark's Gospel almost seems to be the Reader's Digest condensed version of Scripture when compared to some of the more wordy Scripture writers. Today would be a prime example of that. In just a few lines, we have Jesus descending into the cool waters of the Jordan River, being baptized by John. We hear of his being brought up dripping with the renewing water. We hear the Spirit descending upon him like a dove and the voice from heaven proclaiming him the Beloved. This is great, vivid imagery at the scene in the riverbank. Then with hardly a pulse, Mark has Jesus hurled into the wilderness where there are wild beasts and temptations, far from the security and assuredness of the baptism at the river and the proclamation of the status of Jesus in the eyes of God. Just a couple of weeks ago, in our lectionary readings, we were following Jesus' healing and teaching ministry. We heard over and over of the miracles he performed and the swelling crowd that was gathering around him. Then only last week, we heard the story of the Transfiguration, where Jesus appeared before Peter, James, and John, and his clothes were shining like no washerwoman could have ever made them shine. It was only 7 days ago that Jesus was on that mountaintop with Elijah and Moses at his side, and now we find him out in a barren land, a wilderness, and not just the run-of-the-mill desolate area, a wilderness full of wild beasts and temptations. An area full of threats both to the body and to the soul. Things have taken a serious turn from where we left them on that mountaintop last week. That seems to be the way it generally works out of this life we live, doesn't it? The only place to go from the mountaintop is back down to the valley or into the wilderness. Just when we think we're on top of the world, when our horizon seems limitless, when we have everything under control, the world is our oyster and life is a bowl of cherries and all those other chipper sayings. That's just about the time when we are hurled out into the place of wild animals, a wasteland, a place where we are tempted and threatened, perhaps physically, perhaps spiritually, maybe even both. Each of us has our own demons, our own wild animals, our own temptations, and that's why we find ourselves here, right here, on this, the first Sunday of Lent. Here, each of us are struggling at a time in our church calendar that is set aside for us to do that very thing. To address our demons, to meet our temptations, to land in that barren land, that wilderness, and re-pledge our commitment to set things right with God and with each other. That need for setting things right, for rewriting our relationships, is known by God as well. The need to right, to level, to take stock in the situation and begin again from square one is not just a human condition we hear. It's also been the experience of God. In our Genesis reading, the end of the flood story and the reformulation of the covenant between God and his people as given through Noah, we're brought before God who has, in the eyes of people, send a great flood to destroy the earth. Not because he is a mean and vengeful God, but because the people have fallen so far away from the way God intended them to live. Sin, the people's own doing, has separated them from God and from each other. And it's done so to such a degree that God decides pretty much to start all over again. God then makes a covenant through Noah for all people and all creatures and all of creation that this will never happen again. He will never send another flood to destroy the earth. The covenant has changed. The relationship can never go back to the way it was originally, but there is hope and there is a promise, which is evidenced in the rainbow. That's the amazing nature of God, that no matter how people mess up, sin, no matter what we do that flies in the face of the way that He has intended us to live, He continues to hold for us hope and His promise. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were sent into their own wilderness, yet not without clothing, not without hope, not totally abandoned. Even when Cain killed his brother, he was sent into the wilderness, the land of Nod, or wandering, but not without the assurance that God had marked him as a sign for his protection. Even after the flood, when all the people had sinned and even had conspired in forms of corporate sin, taking on as a group the mind of God, God sent his promise with the sign of the rainbow that he would remain constant and faithful to his people. The relationship between God and the people changed in each of these cases. Still, God remained faithful, so much so that when the people continued to sin, continued to break their end of the bargain, to not live as God intended, he sent his son. His son who lived and died as one of us, who was thrown into the land of wild beasts and temptations, just as we are, yet did not sin. His son, who while righteous, took the place of the unrighteous. If we were in fact sinners in the hands of an angry God, we would be cast into the outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. We are in fact sinners. And we break our part of the covenant on a daily basis. We do not love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. And we do not love our neighbors as ourselves. We do not do unto others as we would have them do unto us. We daily eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, taking the place of God upon ourselves. Yet even in the midst of the wilderness, when we are surrounded by wild beasts and temptations that we have brought with us into this barren land, we find a God who sends his angels to watch over us, lest we dash our feet against the stone. We find the same God who did not send Adam and Eve from the garden naked, who did mark Cain as a sign for his protection, who sent a rainbow as a beautiful sign of his unfailing grace and love. A God who lived and died for us, so that we might live for him. As we enter into this Lenten season and meet our own wild beasts and temptations, our own shortcomings and flaws, let us remember that our God is a God of grace, a God who is faithful, a God who is waiting, offering a place of return for us. Thanks be to God.